Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
I just wanted to share that, you know, my life came screeching to a halt back when I was 50, with a lot of tragedy in my life, and what I thought was going to be for the rest of my life, and I know others of us experienced this. It's like, where do we go from here? And it's not that the new relationship is a replacement, because nothing can ever replace what went beyond, and that's not the purpose of it. It's a completely new thing, right? It's a new possibility. So this has been a wonderful thing for me, to have the opportunity to have a great life before, but then a renewed beginning to life. And so I just want to thank Wendy for being part of that for 10 years. Now, how I can go on with the sermon after that, I don't know, but I'm going to try. We're in the third part of our series on ways of approaching the divine, yeah? And the first week we looked at God or the divine as affirmative, the affirmative way, the way of fullness, and God being the provider of all good things. But then we also noted in the second week that in order to have that fullness, there's God as emptiness, right? God as negation, God of open spaces. It's the empty coffee cup, if you like, that needs to be filled. And emptiness guarantees fullness, right? You can't have fullness if you haven't left space. The whole universe was created out of the void, right? The Bible says that. The Hindu scriptures say that. It was a formless void out of which God created everything. So this is, we don't have to fear emptiness, in other words. Emptiness is that open, when we can release and let go, we create openness to experience fullness. Great. So today we want to look at the third part of that, which is marrying the two together, the way of balance, right? Because, yeah, we want fullness, we want emptiness, but how do they work together? Because that's where the real magic comes in. What do they say? The whole is greater than the sum of the parts, right? So when you bring emptiness and wholeness together, they are greater than what they appear to be themselves, right? And that's the beauty of this. There's a symbol, of course, in ancient Chinese that we were very familiar with in the West. And it is, of course, you know it, the yin-yang symbol, right? And it contains both the two parts, doesn't it? The light and the dark. But they're swirling around a whole, a circle, which creates the third force, which is greater than the two that nest together. Now, if you look at a yin-yang symbol, you'll notice that in the middle of the black, there's a white dot. And in the middle of the white, there's a black dot. What does that suggest? Balance. They are one, right? It's not like we're emphasizing one over the other. They are inherently the same, right? Fullness and emptiness are the same. Light and dark are the same. They just appear to be very different. And once we understand that, we can learn from every single thing. Now, let's take grief and joy, right? We may say, well, I don't want grief because it's nasty, it's ugly, it doesn't make me feel good. I just want joy in life. We're not living the balanced life, right? Because grief has much to teach us, and we can open to the lessons from it than joy does. So they're both necessary, yeah? And if we could truly not be afraid of one or the other, but delve directly into them, we receive the gift. We receive the greater gift, the greater, higher purpose that everything has to bring us. Easy to say, not always easy to do, is it? Because we run from one to the other instead of noticing that they belong together. They nest together is the way I like to put it. This is how Jesus could say, because Jesus understood this completely, because he wasn't one thing or the other. He was both and. He says, be in the world, but not of the world, right? It's not like you checked out. You're in the world, but you're not bought and sold by it, right? And a couple of weeks ago, we said, don't buy into it. The only reason we get stuck is we buy into something, whether it's good or bad. We label it, and we get stuck in. How many people are bought and sold by something? And when we all are to a degree, you know, the minute you get hooked, You know, you could say, oh my goodness, I am so evolved spiritually. I feel so enlightened today. What's the next thing that's going to happen? You're going to be in a screaming argument before the day's over. It's just the way it works. Because the universe likes to play games on us, you know. It's playful. If you set yourself up, then the universe tends to come and knock you down. Because that's the way everything fits together. You can't say, oh, well, I'm free of that now. Watch out. The minute you say you're free of something, it'll grab you again. So it's honest to say I'm bought and sold by some things. But the minute you notice it, you could change it, right? You can't change anything you're not willing to look at. So self-honesty is huge here. That's why there's a dot of black in the white and a dot of white in the black. Because it's saying there's the antidote is in both sides. And the opposites cure. It's interesting how that works, right? The very thing you thought you was there to curse you is actually your greatest blessing. Jesus also said these contradictory words about how to do this. He said, be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. What a statement. It's one of my favorites in the Bible. I have many, but that's up there, I think, in the top 10. Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. What does that mean for you? How do you get your head around that one? Wise as serpents, innocent as doves. Be smart. Oh, and good. Okay, smart and good. Nobody's fool, right? But still trusting, still open, right? Still vulnerable. I'm going to be doing a sermon, actually, when I get back on Daring Greatly by Brené Brown, if anybody's read that wonderful book. And it's the courage to be vulnerable. And really, that's what the saying is about. You know, having the courage to be vulnerable, to be innocent as a dove, but nobody's fool. Not just walking around acting like I don't have to protect myself. There are times when we do. But we're not so hunkered down that we can't experience the tenderness and vulnerabilities and joys of life. See, when we're centered in that third force, the circle, we're safe, right? Because God is always with us. We know that we're centered and poised in that awareness. So Jesus could exhibit what? Amazing sensitivity and delicacy and could heal and love. But he was also nobody's fool. You know, you didn't want to mess with Jesus, right? The Pharisees tried. Don't mess with Jesus. I said it a few weeks ago, but I'm going to repeat it because it's one of my favorite quotes from Sri Nazagadatta Maharaj. He says, beyond being and non-being lies the immensity of the real, right? Beyond yin and yang lies the immensity of the circle that enfolds both being and non-being. So it's not a question of worrying about, well, what happens when I'm not here anymore, etc. That's looking in the wrong direction. What who you are in truth was never born. It can never die. But we have this joy of being in this finite form. Well, how paradoxical is that, yeah? But beyond being and non-being is the immensity of the real. When I give up worrying about what am I, a human being, a spiritual being? No, I am in the midst of all this. And that is the reality. Isn't that the basic, what we're called upon in life to be is to be real, isn't it? Even if we own up to some of the messy, ugly, mucky stuff that we are, we're being real, that is enlightenment, yeah? That is freedom. It's not blissing out when there's no problems. It's looking deep within the problem and finding the joy, the opportunity, yeah? Again, easy to say, hard to do, especially when you've screwed up. You know you've screwed up. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to get out of this one? Starts with acceptance, but there's forgiveness work and there's demands and there's all kinds of things that come with it. Being real, right? There's a lot of sayings actually in the Muslim tradition about Jesus, because a lot of people in the Muslim tradition lift up Jesus as a great prophet. And many of these sayings have been written down over the years. One that I found was written back in the 8th century. And again, you have to embrace paradox to get your head around how the complementary yin-yang come together as a greater. Now, tell me what this means. Jesus said, be in the middle but walk to the side. Be in the middle, but walk to the side. Now, you can't do that literally, can you? Have a try. Be in the middle, walk to the side. But it makes perfect sense spiritually, doesn't it? Or does it? What does it mean for you? Be in the middle, walk to the side. It's a certain humility, right? So you're centered and poised, but you're willing to move aside, right? To be humble. Because sometimes we can be so spiritual. Look at me, I'm so centered and poised. Nobody's as centered and poised as me. Isn't it wonderful? And then you meet somebody else and you've got to tell them all the time how centered and poised you are. Oh my God, I'm so spiritual. It's wonderful. No. You know, you have the inability to walk to the side. How many people want to be special? Come on, be honest. Spatial. We all want to be special, don't we? Oh, she wants to be the most special, of course. At 9:30, they were very honest. They said they all want to be special. That's why they're in the choir. Maybe not all of them. Oh, sopranos are the most special. The man in black is the most special of them all, though. You know, the Zen says you don't have to be special to be special, right? There's another contradiction. If you think you're so hot, you're not. But when you can just... No, I wasn't picking on you, my friend. I'd moved on by then. We were on something else. Interesting, though, isn't it, how you got to let go and relax into naturalness. I think that's what it is. Within us is a natural goodness, a natural honesty, a natural authenticity that we can just be, right? It's not a question of forcing it. The minute we want to force it, it doesn't happen. But when we relax into it, then it can come effortlessly. We talked about this earlier with the choir. When the choir are in that zone where they're not thinking about pushing it and making it happen, it happens effortlessly, right? And the Tao calls it Wu Wei, which is actionless activity or effortless activity, when we're just doing something in the zone, flowing with it, allowing our truth to our reality, the real part of us, to come forth. Okay, at 9:30 we got real deep in the next quote, and everybody told me this is too deep. So we're going to throw it out at you, see if you think it's deep. But just to encourage you, later in the summer I am going to do a very light sermon. And it's going to be called How to Be a Happy Camper in the State Park of Life. So look out for that one. I kid you not, I'm going to do a sermon on that. Here's the deep one, all right? When you can see, this is Thich Nhat Hanh, the great Zen Buddhist master. Thich Nhat Hanh says, when you can see the non-rose elements when looking at a rose, it is safe to use the word rose. Already confusing, isn't it? All right, when you can see the non-rose elements when looking at a rose, it is safe for us to use the word rose. When you can look at A and see that A is not A, we know that A is truly A. The A is no longer a dangerous obstacle for us. Too deep. There we go. Moving right on. Let me tell you about what happened to me in Walmart this week. Oh, it was fascinating. No. It's not difficult, really. It's when we label things, we can't see the thing anymore, right? You're looking at the label, not the thing. So when you say rose, there's a danger that you're just saying, oh, yeah, there's a rose. I don't look at it anymore. But there is something within the rose that has nothing to do with the label we put on it. Same with us, right? Once we've labeled somebody, we cannot see them for who they truly are, right? When we let go of the label, then I could see you for the first time maybe, right? That's the non-rose element. There is something within that rose that is just itself without names and forms. Folks, it wasn't Eve feeding the apple to Adam that caused all the problems, I don't believe, right? Shock, horror, news flash. That wasn't it. The problem came when God said to Adam, you can name everything. I want you to name everything. That's when it all went to hell, because once we name things, I got a name for you. You know what I'm saying? Once you name things, you don't look at it anymore. Case in point, I'm a bird watcher. I like to watch birds. And when I was younger, and my daughter was very little, I would be teaching her about birds, right? And I wanted her to know all the names of the birds. Well, she didn't particularly want to learn all the names of the birds. And it was very, very frustrating for me because she wouldn't do it my way. But she enjoyed birds and she loved their pretty colors and all that. But that wasn't good enough for me. I wanted her to know the names. Then I had a breakthrough. I thought, why am I making her like me? You know, just because I like to learn the names doesn't mean that it's important, right? There's another way of looking at things. This is a yin-yang universe, and we can actually dwell together in complementarity. Now she knows a few names, but the point is she was enjoying the birds, and that's what comes first, right? It's the coffee in the cup. And not the kind of cup it is. You know, just because you've named it doesn't mean you're any nearer to its intrinsic reality. So I think, what? Where I eviscerated your point? I don't think so. I'm afraid of that woman. She's tough. You have to be if you're a disc jockey on the ranch. Does it make sense, though? Now we're talking about letting go of labeling things and instead embrace. Labeling grief as a problem or the lack of a job a problem, right? If I want to stay stuck, then I tell myself today I'm feeling stuck. And guess what? We're stuck. But I could also say I'm free and I could be free. The same circumstances can be there. But as long as I realize that stuckness is not a problem, it's just an investigation. So when we have to say, well, why do I feel that way? What is it about me? Why am I attaching? What am I buying into? Right? Because I can find as much freedom in stuckness as I can in freedom itself. Because it's yin-yang, right? The dot is in the black dot's in the white, and the white dot's in the black. Everything is for learning. Let me conclude with a couple of readings from the Tao, because Lao Tzu really understood this stuff. First one is from chapter 2. It says, when people see some things as beautiful, other things become ugly. When people see some things as good, other things become bad. Being and non-being create each other. Difficult and easy support each other. It's the yin-yang again, isn't it? Long and short define each other. High and low depend on each other. Before and after follow each other. Therefore, the master, and that's us, the ones that are real, that's what a master is, somebody who chooses to be real. Therefore, the master acts without doing anything and teaches without saying anything. Things arise and she lets them come. Things disappear and she lets them go. She has but doesn't possess, acts but doesn't expect. When her work is done, she forgets it. That's why it lasts forever. Now, how can you act without doing anything? Back to that wu-wei concept. Not to be confused with wu-wee, wu-wei. Actionless activity. Well, it's just being in the flow, isn't it? It's the right thing to do without expectations, right? Without thinking I got to get something out of this. Because then it comes with a karmic load. But if we do it because it's the right thing to do at any given time, it's free. It's going to yield good results. I love what Sherry said earlier, because Sherry came to us at the end of the board meeting on Thursday and said, I really feel called to say something in church on Sunday. And I knew she was going to speak from the heart because she always does, every time I've talked to her, and came and did something very beautiful. So thank you for doing that. And it was I could feel the reality of it. You know, you were coming from your center, right? And that's actionless activity. That's just doing it because I feel called to do that. I want to speak something. I think it's important right now, and I want to say it. So when it says teaches without saying anything, doesn't mean we're not speaking words, but we are not attached to the words, right? It's not like we have to have everybody hear us and pay attention all the time because I'm so special. It's not like that. All right, number 22. If you want to become whole, let yourself be partial. If you want to become straight, let yourself be crooked. If you want to become full, let yourself be, you got it, empty. If you want to be reborn, let yourself die. If you want to be given everything, give everything up. It's just playing with the nature of the yin and yang. Are you a particle or are you a wave? Yes. I am a tendency towards it all, right? And if I say, no, I only want to be a wave, then you missed out the joys of being a particle. And if all you want to be is a particle, you missed out of the joys of being a wave. They complement each other. So to get wholeness, you touch the hem of the garment, the partial, right? Because everything is contained within the whole. So it's okay. You don't love everybody in the single world. You love a particular person or set of people, but you find universal love in that. Yeah? That's the way it works. So the master, by residing in the Tao or the Christ or the truth, sets an example for all beings. Because he doesn't display himself, people can see his light. He stands in the middle but walks to the side. Because he has nothing to prove, people can trust his words. Because he doesn't know who he is, people recognize themselves in him. Because he has no goal in mind, everything he does succeeds. Now, I'm not saying you give up on your goals and plans and setting all this stuff that you want to do. It's not about that. But you are open to the fact that that is very provisional. Yeah, and it can be jettisoned. It's not written in stone. There's something greater, and that's the truth, the reality of you, the real you. When the ancient masters said, if you want to be given everything, give everything up, they weren't using empty phrases. Only in being lived by the Tao can you be truly yourself, being lived by the Christ, letting the joy and the natural beauty and goodness of who you are come forth, right? In your job, wherever you are, in your relationships, it's all grist for the mill. That's the joy of this. Everything that befalls us is not a curse at all. It is the ultimate blessing of coming into a larger awareness. And when we come to that awareness, we find we are centered and poised in the Christ Spirit. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of our souls. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.